Hey, everybody, welcome to episode number 57.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 57 of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. And whether you have a small RV like the Class B Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, even if you just dry camp out of your car or tent and are thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, and we share tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology. That's what the RV Road Trekking Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. Get out there. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. And Leisure Time RV, a family-owned dealership in Central Florida. Your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV. Hi, everybody. So glad to have you with us as this episode is released. It is October 14th, 2015. The color is bright across much of the upper states, at least, even down into Kentucky and Tennessee these days. You can see those beautiful fall colors. We've got a lot to talk about in this episode of the podcast. As always, our key feature later on the podcast will be an interview with one of my favorite guys, Mark Polk from RV Education 101. Mark and his wife Dawn produce a series of DVDs on just about everything you could ever want to know about an RV. And today we're going to talk with Mark about something that, well, after driving the freeways and interstates of our society and our country and throughout North America since May a lot, we've been pretty much on the road. Man, there's a lot of RV drivers that need some lessons, and Mark is going to give us some. He's going to teach us how to drive your RV like a pro with some powerful tips. No matter how long you've been behind the wheel of your RV, Mark, I think, is going to give you some great advice and some things to think about that will help you be a safer and a more efficient driver. That's coming up later on in the podcast. And of course, we've got lots more stuff. We've got your questions. We've got some tips. We're going to share an off-the-beaten-path report. And of course, we've got RV news and the RV calendar of upcoming events. But first, my lifelong traveling companion joins me now, my wife, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we had a nice trip this past weekend. We went up into northern Michigan, looked at the color. Boy, it popped out quick. We got up there Thursday and didn't have a lot. There wasn't a whole bunch. And then by Sunday, wow, it was everywhere.
Yeah, I think this coming weekend will be peak color season in northern Michigan.
And that means probably Wisconsin and Minnesota and some of the places in New England as well. So a couple more weeks, but the color will be gone.
Nothing more beautiful than the autumn colors. Nope. With a beautiful sunshiny day.
Well, I thought I did pretty good with my photography this weekend.
You certainly did.
I went out and photographed the Milky Way. Ever since we had our Road Trekking Montana Mountains boondocking extravaganza out there in the Beartooth Mountains, and Jeff Martica, one of our Road Trekking regulars and a photographer, excellent photographer, did a course on shooting the night sky. I've been waiting to get the Milky Way, and I finally got it.
But you needed some special filters to do that.
Well, I needed, I did some, there's a dehaze situation. It's a thing in the editing software that kind of takes off the haze and it pops them right out. But what's amazing to me is how a camera can, if you leave that open, if you leave the aperture open, it gets sees so much more than your naked eye does. And boy, it just pulled in the Milky Way. What a spectacular universe we have around us.
We do. And it was well worth being out there in the night air and making that special hike to go do that picture.
Now, I just was on my ham radio station. I do a bunch of ham radio. I run a little network every now and then and did one today. It was my turn to be volunteer for that. And I was talking with guys all over the Midwest. They were talking about the color and how it is starting. This is the peak week for many places in the northern latitudes. And they also noticed that the first snow is being predicted in snow flurries for parts of Minnesota and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. That's coming this week, and that's pretty early.
Well, maybe it'll be an interesting winter.
So that means it's getting time to winterize for many people.
That's always so hard to do.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we're taking off. We're home actually for 4 or 5 days, and then we're on the road again. We're going to go back down south for a little bit, so that'll be kind of fun, and we'll get some warmth. But I think when we get back, it will be time to winterize.
We might have to winterize before we completely get back.
Yeah, we've done that before. Stopped in Kentucky or someplace, and yeah, we probably will have to do that too, because it's coming. There's just no stopping it.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
This week, I want to share about these very useful cloths that we use to clean, well, just about everything in our RV and our house too. They are called the KWAS cloth, and they get their name KWAS from what they do. They clean anything without streaks. KWAS. We first got them at an RV show, and now from the Road Trekking store. They really do clean anything. We started using them to clean bugs off the windshield. Just wet and wring them out, and they took the bugs off not just the windshield, but also the front of our Road Trek. Even the grills, removing tar, grease, brake dust from the aluminum wheel covers, dirt, and dust. Then we started using the cloths to clean the burners, stove, glass, cabinets, countertops, stainless steel, computers. They remove fingerprints and smudges, grime, and grit. They clean everything. The KWAS cloth is made of a special yarn that's an ultra-fine microfiber. Every fiber is 200 times finer than a human hair. This is the secret of microfiber's incredible cleaning ability. The fiber is very strong and is virtually lint-free. It does not damage any surface. The fiber grabs and holds dirt, dust, and grime. It is sort of like a magnet effect. The KWAS cloth holds 7 times its weight in dirt, grime, and liquids. You can reuse them many times. To clean them, hand rinse with dish soap or clean water and wring out. Do not put them in the dryer. You can get 6 of them for $6. Just go to the show notes for this episode and we'll have a link on where you can get them. They are really the best cleaning product you will ever own. We love them.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Kira. I just wanted to share with you a wonderful park that we stopped at last year when we were traveling to Florida from New Jersey. It was right there in Perry, Georgia. It was called Fairhaven. We really enjoyed our stay there overnight. They accommodated us without any problems. And the best part of it is if you're traveling with a large animal like a horse, they even have accommodations for you there. So I highly recommend it.
Oh, thank you, Kara. Actually, the name of the park is not Fairhaven. It's Fair Harbor. Fair Harbor in Perry, Georgia. And I think Kara had seen the story that we did when we were in Perry. We had a great time there in that little town.
It was a fun place to be. And I can see why they would make accommodation for horses because they're so close to that fairground.
Oh my gosh, this Georgia Agri Center, this massive fairground. A lot of RV rallies are held there. In fact, the Family Motor Coach Association will have their big family reunion there in March. Huge, but lots of horse activity. And this campground is really nice. We saw that campground when we were in Perry. They got a little lake there for fishing and full hookups and very, very friendly people. So that's always fun to get a recommendation of a good place to stay. And Perry is the place. We just sort of used that as an example to show our style of camping. We wrote a post on the blog a couple of weeks ago where Well, all right, let's just stop here and let's go out and show everybody how we just kind of explore with no agenda. And we found all sorts of things to do there.
Thanks to the fairground. That was a big asset in finding things to do.
Yeah, we went to that fairground. They had there was a Good Sam rally there. What else was
there? The Mennonites.
Oh, the Mennonites had
selling things to raise money to help folks.
Yeah, they do a missions outreach and lots of relief, emergency relief for disaster relief. And they were auctioning off those amazing quilts, those quilts they make. And there was a horse exposition.
Reining?
Yeah, I never knew about that. Reining horses.
That looks awfully hard on the horse's hind legs.
Yeah.
I mean, making them go in those little circles, pivot like that. I looked at that and I thought,
Yeah, it's a horse's life. But
Are beautiful.
What did the guy say? Oh, he said they're the reining horses are the ninjas of the horse world. And that was fun.
Well, they were little ninjas out there doing their moves.
Yeah, so we had a great time. And you can read about that in the blog. But thank you, Kira, for sending us that along. The name of the park is Fair Harbor RV Park in Perry, Georgia. Here's another one that came in. This is from Joyce, who listened to your tip of the week last week, where we talked about a couple of apps that you can use to send postcards and use your own photos. And the one we highlighted was, I think it was called Postino. And Joyce is having some problems with it.
Ah, hello. This is Joyce calling, asking Jennifer a question about Postino. When was the last time that she used it? Today is October 12th, 2015. Has she used it recently? I've read some negative things about Postino, and I can't get on it now, even checking with their website. I'd appreciate some kind of guidance. P.S. I love your weekly RV newsletter that I get on my computer. Well, Thank you. Bye-bye.
Joyce, I feel for you. It's so frustrating when you try to do something and it doesn't come together easily for you. We just used it last week.
Yeah, we sent a postcard of some mountains out west to our grandson, and we used it. Worked great. You know what I think the issue might be, Joyce, is the website, Postino, the website, is just sort of a website that talks about the app. And the app is where you is what you use. So you need to have the app on your smartphone. I just went just a moment ago here as we played your message. I went to the site, and the Postino site works fine. And I went to it yesterday, which was the 12th. We record this on the 13th, and of course it will be released on Wednesday, the 14th. But I checked it yesterday, checked it today, and of course last week it works. So the website's fine, and the app works. So
maybe we need to make house calls.
We do need to make house calls. Joyce, I'll be right over, and let's see if we can sort that out. But give it a try. You know, there are other apps out there. You can do a search yourself under Make a Postcard with your smartphone. But that's the one we like. And I like it because you can buy stamps with it, and they'll actually mail it for you. So you use your own picture, and you write your own words. And as Jennifer said, you can listen to that if you go back to episode 56, and that was in Jennifer's tip of the week.
And Joyce, I sure hope you can get it to work, or else find another one that works for you.
Yep, there's a bunch of them. Thank you, Joyce, for giving us a call. And here's one that came in by email. This is from Buff and Deanna Martino from Fort Pierce, Florida. And they say, I have a cat that we cannot keep from scratching the leather. Do you know of a good source for good quality gray bucket seat covers for our 2009 21-foot Road Trek Chevy Express 3500? Well, that would be a mess, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, and you can't stop a cat from scratching, so you're going to have to get covers.
There's a lot of places online. You can look up seat covers on Amazon, for example. But there's a site that I found when I got your note here, and I looked it up. It's called Auto Anything. And when you start that, it asks for you the name and the make and the model of your vehicle. So you can enter that in, and it will tell you whether there are seat covers available. And there are. Seat covers are expensive. I'm looking at the prices. They're all like, you know, $150 for a good pair of seat covers. But you certainly don't want that that leather or whatever it is, that quasi leather or whatever it is in your RV scratched by your cat. So I would try that. It's called AutoAnything.com, And I'll put a link to their seat covers page on the show notes part of this episode.
And I'm sure they tried a scratching post, which the cats are supposed to like to scratch.
I don't know. I've never had a cat.
Well, we had one when we were first married.
That didn't go over too well.
We were gone place all the time. That we lived. There, a cat came with it while we were in college.
Yeah, that didn't last too long. And we've never had a cat. We had dogs.
A daughter with allergies, and cats really bothered her. Dogs, not quite so much. Yeah, I like cats.
Yeah, the cats are, a lot of people travel with cats. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they handle the kitty litter issue. You know, that just seems to me it would be an issue, but it must not be because there are people with cats out there.
It's hard with a pet. And like with Ty being gone, his being an older dog, when we got our Road Trek, he was no problem whatsoever. But thinking about a puppy and wondering if the dog would adjust to being inside the Road Trek and having to train a pet again.
If you're just listening to the first time, Ty was our Norwegian Elkhound, and it's still hard for me to find a photo that he wasn't in. He traveled everywhere with us, and we lost him in July of 2015. And so we've been kind of debating. Every place we go, people come up to us and ask us if we're going to get a new dog. Are you going to get a new dog? We are dog people. We love dogs, and we miss him greatly. But I don't know. Are we, you know, we still haven't made up our mind yet.
I know our son had a dog that was the destroyer. Every time you left her in a car, she destroyed the entire interior.
Every dog's different.
They're all different little personalities.
Yeah, but we know this, that if it was a puppy, they can be kind of... they can be destructive. And a lot of people say get a rescue dog, and we're going to probably look into all of that, but not for a little bit. I think my dread is that we're going to wake up Christmas morning and find our kids have bought us a puppy or something.
Yeah, our one boy is saying that he's going to get us a puppy for Christmas.
He better be kidding us.
We'll get him a puppy for Christmas,
too. Yeah, we'll re-gift that puppy.
Or else we'll have two puppies.
Yeah, we probably would have two. We like puppies. We like dogs. All right, well, those are our questions, and we love to hear from you. You guys can leave us a message on the leave voicemail link. And Jennifer, the leaves are falling down. There is no getting over it. We're going to have to winterize that RV.
I know. That's always a sign of this freedom to use the RV completely the way we'd like to.
Now, people wonder, what do we do in the winter? And we're going to have a little episode a little bit later on in our RV calendar about an event. You can join us if you've never tried winter camping. We want you to come and join us. We had a ball doing that. We're going to do it again this year. But, you know, we use our RV all year round. But you do have to winterize it if you live in a northern climate. So maybe the solution is we move to the south. But I do like the snow as well. So
do I.
But it does symbolize kind of a lack of, it's not summer anymore. And you have to do it just a little bit differently when you have it winterized and you use your RV.
We're always saying there's no stopping it. The seasons just keep coming and going and coming and going.
Well, as fast as this one came, we'll have spring coming just as soon. So
true.
All right. Well, thank you, my dear.
Thank you for having me here.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas. They bring you the largest inventory of Class Bs you'll find anywhere from three locations across the United States of America. And all three have a great fly and drive program. They'll pick you up at the airport and reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then you and your RV will be fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Hey, Dan, the van man from Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri. Dan's got the specials for us this week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we're having a great fall inventory reduction sale right now. You'll get some great savings on some Road Treks. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, or WagonTrailRV.com. You can give us a call at 1-800-467-3905. Don't forget about the 6-year unlimited Road Trek warranty. Also have a 2007 Road Trek 190 Popular, 48,000 miles, one owner. Somebody's looking for that four-wheel drive unit, here it is. You can give us a call at 1-800-467-3905.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, a really sad story from San Marcos, California for our friends at the Holland RV Center. They're one of the larger RV centers out there in California. And man, they had a horrendous fire this past week out there. In fact, the smoke from that thing could be seen around for miles. And then the propane tanks on many of the RVs started to explode. This was an amazing fire. Some of the witnesses said the explosions were loud. They had no idea what was going on. Brought a ton of first responders to the scene. And of course, all the RVs had propane tanks, and no one's quite sure exactly how this fire started, but it did extensive damage. They know it did start somewhere in the service center of the dealership, which at the time was closed. There was nobody there. It was an amazing fire, and a lot of the motorhomes in the service department had severe damage. About 70 firefighters contained the fire, and they were able to keep it from spreading to the sales center and all the inventory. But massive some explosions and fire and lots of flames. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but we hate to see that happen to anybody, of course, in Holland RV Center on San Marcos Boulevard out there in San Marcos, California, severely damaged by that fire. Up in Canada, near Calgary, the Calgary RV Park had to close down the other day because of an aggressive grizzly bear out there. The Mount Kidd RV Park there in near Calgary was closed all over the past weekend. Fish and wildlife officers were trying to catch a pretty aggressive grizzly bear that showed up. They ended up shutting down completely four sites, and then they allowed some people back in if they had hard shells, if they were, you know, like a motor home or they had a hard shell, but no tents at all. And they, last I've heard, they're still trying to find that grizzly, but only hard-sided trailers and RVs in the park last weekend. This is the time that all bears, whether they're grizzlies or black bears, they're out there trying to put on the pounds because of the cold weather that's approaching and hibernation time. So they're a little more active, and food is foremost on their mind. But always remember, they are wild creatures. Stay away from them, and not good. Hey, this was an incredible year from almost all of the national parks, but Yellowstone National Park, which I think Yellowstone is on everybody's bucket list, right? Yellowstone set a visitor record this past year. More people have experienced Yellowstone National Park than in any previous year. And of course, there's still time for more to show up because they don't shut it down. It really goes all year round, but the peak season's kind of coming to a quick end. Through the end of September, that's when this last survey was released, they had counted 3.8 million visitors, which exceeds the total number recorded in the previous busiest year, which was 2010. When they had 3.6 million. So almost, you know, 3.8, almost 4 million people visited Yellowstone. They had just a ton of them and lots of campers. Each of the park's five entrances had an increase in vehicles. The west entrance had the largest increase in September visits. And I wanted to point out something. I meant to share this a couple of weeks ago, but if you go to Yellowstone, one of the problems is I was trying to find a place to camp because it's so popular. They have a great app. If you go to the Yellowstone website and their camping pages, they now keep track like they do. And I think Glacier does this as well. In real time, you can see when specific campgrounds are closed. There's only a couple of campgrounds at Yellowstone in which you can get a reservation. Those are the great big ones, massive ones, and usually they're great big motorhomes that are in there. But the really fun ones, the ones that Jennifer and I really like, are backcountry ones, and they are first come, first served. And of course, people come very early in the morning, like 6 in the morning, to get the ones that that we like, particularly up near Hayden Valley. But anyway, this if you go to the Yellowstone National Park website and their camping pages, you can see real time and plan this out for next year when specific campgrounds reach their capacity. You'll see some of them by 8 o'clock, they're done. And what you have to do is get up very early in the morning and just sit there and wait for morning to open up, and people who are going to leave, those spots go quickly. But that app is really going to help a whole lot. So that's our RV news for the week. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. The Aldi system is hydronic, and that means it uses water, and thus it is able to bring many features and benefits that you cannot find in any other kind of heating system. For example, and one of the top drawbacks of this hydronic system that Aldi has is it is a silent, radiant heat. That means it provides a very warm, even, natural heated interior. It's not dry. If you do a lot of camping in cold weather and you have that forced air propane on, oh my goodness, you just dry right out. That doesn't happen with Aldi's hydronic system. It is silent. You don't have that rushing fan, and that radiant heat is just a smooth, even, very comfortable, not nearly as dry as that propane forced air heat is. Now, Aldi will work on propane and electricity, but it's so efficient. Because it's two systems in one, it draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and thus it extends the life of your propane about 40% over just pure forced air. It has all these options and amenities, like you can get towel warmers, tank heating, so you can get four-season camping out of this thing. You can bring in the engine heat as well to supplement it, so you can have driver comfort. It's just really a nice, clean system. The thing that Jennifer and I like most about the Aldi system we have in our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL, what we really like about that is we have the heated floor option from Aldi, so that when you are padding around there in the middle of the night and you're stocking feet or your bare feet, the floor is heated. It is so luxurious. When you get up in the middle of the night, it's heated. It's all controlled through a very modern, programmable color touch screen, thermostat, and interface. It's really great. And then for those of you who are into all the mechanics of it, the Aldi system has minimal sidewall penetration. Really like that, because it's got a very small combined intake and exhaust that eliminates those big cutouts and sidewall congestion you see on other systems. So there you go. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Gadgets, gizmos, smartphones, personal tech, we cover it all. Time now for Mike's Thingamajig of the Week.
All right, we're going to check in with our buddy, the Uber user, Paul Ulrich from Verizon Wireless. Paul has been messing around with those mini tablets, those smaller tablets, and they many different manufacturers make them. Have you ever wondered about getting one of those, those great big ones that kind of take up a lot of space, particularly as you're traveling? Well, Paul gives us his take on the mini tablets. What's happening, Paul?
Hey, Mike, what's going on? Paul Ulrich from Verizon here. Today, I wanted to talk about something that might surprise you a little bit, because you know I'm very spoiled here. I'm very lucky. I get to use almost all the super cool new devices. But sometimes you like to mix it up. And recently I've decided to switch to the smaller tablets. And I wanted to let you know that I'm so far loving it. So I switched from the large. I have a couple tablets usually that I'm using. I switched from the big iPad and the big Samsung tablet to the iPad mini and the Verizon Ellipsis 8. So both of these tablets have, well, just about 8-inch screen. The Android one has an 8-inch screen. The iPad mini, it's officially 7.9, I believe, inch screen. So for the most part, both of them have the 8-inch screens. And what I've fallen in love with is just that, you know, it's something different, right? Something a little new. Instead of lugging around the big tablet, you've got a little bit smaller tablet. Even with a little case on them, they're still nice and portable. And there's still, the iPad mini has a little bit better processor, better screen resolution than the Ellipsis 8. But unless you're someone like me, I can tell a difference now between HD and then like these, I call them Super HD. Once it gets past 1080, I mean, the resolution is just so crazy. But if you're someone who's out and about a lot, which I know a lot of your listeners are, active people, right? They're not just sitting home all day. They're out in their RVs. They're out camping. Maybe you're going to want to consider If you do want a tablet, but you don't want something quite so big, don't forget you've got other options, right? You've got the smaller options, and for someone like me who's always used to having, using the best and the newest and the coolest and the fastest, using this Ellipsis 8 and the iPad Mini, I really kind of fall in love with the portability and the smaller size. And I'll send you, as always, I'll send you a couple links, and go check it out. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. For the Road Trekking RV Podcast, I'm Verizon Wireless Uber user Paul Ulrich reporting.
All right, so Paul's downsizing from those big tablets to the minis, and he seems to like them. This part of the podcast brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Verizon first introduced 4G LTE, boy, it doesn't seem possible, 6 years ago almost. And once again, it's about ready to usher in a new era with an aggressive roadmap for fifth generation or 5G wireless technology. Now, 5G is no longer a dream of the distant future. 5G technology should be introduced in the U.S. sometime after 2020. But it's always kind of fun to look at what's going on because Verizon right now is accelerating the expected rate of innovation. And by working closely with some of their key partners, they aim to launch field technology trials of 5G. I mean, this is really fast stuff. The benefits of it about, you know how fast? About 50 times the throughput of current 4G LTE. The latency in the single milliseconds and in the ability to handle exponentially more internet-connected devices to accommodate the explosion of the internet of everything. That's what 5G is going to be for. But 50 times the data throughput that 4G has. Today, about 98% of the U.S. population has access to 4G LTE, and 87% of Verizon data traffic is carried over that network. Even as Verizon begins to work on making 5G a reality, the company will continue to grow and expand 4G LTE. Now, it's time for you to learn a little bit about this because this Internet of Everything is really pretty interesting stuff. And if you want to learn more about it, go to roadtrekking.com/VZWtech. roadtrekking.com/VZWtech. We'll put a link on the show notes, but 5G LTE, it's pretty interesting. And also you can visit roadtrekking.com/VZW and you'll be able to find lots more stories on how technology can enhance and improve your traveling lifestyle.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, I've got one for you, and it's not for the faint-hearted, okay? This is for those of you who are active and a little crazy because I'm going to ask you to come up and play in the snow with us. We've been doing this now. Jennifer and I have been doing winter camping at Tequamanon Falls in Michigan's Upper Peninsula for the past, well, this will be year number four of camping in the wintertime. And this is the second year we've invited people to come with us. Last year, along with our friend Jan Seiner from Road Trek Motorhomes, we had 14 RVs and about 25 people. Well, we are way over that now. The park up there will have snow. There will be about, well, the last year when we were up there, they had 3 feet on the level ground. But they plow out the sites for us. The Tequamanon Falls State Park is where we go. And we had a ball with this. Now, the dates for it this year, January 22nd that's a Friday, through Sunday the 24th. January 22nd through Sunday the 24th. And it's free. Well, you got to pay the Michigan Department of Natural Resources to camp there, but whatever that rate is, that's all you pay. And I've got a story I will link in our show notes about it. And I put a bunch of photos of what it's like and how pretty it is up there in the wintertime and how it works, how you camp. But what you do is you register. We've got a special site set up where you can register. And that's so we know you're coming. And as we know who's coming, if we know how many are coming, it kind of helps us in requesting the right spot to have a big fire, to find restaurants and to plan for hikes. We've got some people who are going to take us on a guided snowshoe hike. the good people from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the rangers up there, let us borrow a bunch of snowshoes. It is so much fun. I mean, we were like kids playing in the snow last year when we were up there. So what you do is you register on that site for us. It's free. Just then we know how many are coming. Okay. And we know that we can be kind of looking for you. We don't have we don't have name tags or register, you know, lots of activities. This is just for a bunch of people who want to get together and hang out and in the snow and play. Some people take hikes. Some people, rent snowmobiles in town. They drive into town about 10 miles into the town of Paradise. There's a great little restaurant and a microbrewery right near the falls. Others like to go take pictures, like to snowshoe. We all hang out at night around a campfire, just like in the summer. You know, you got to dress warm. It's a little bit of camping because many people have winterized RVs and it gets cold. I mean, last year, one night it got down to 5 below 0 and nobody complained. We had one person who even camped in a car. But if you know how to dress and what you do, you stay warm. It was really fun. So go to the show notes page for this, and I'll have a link to a website story I did, and you can look it over and see if it's for you. But if you've never tried it before, it's very, very doable. January 22nd through the 24th. January 22nd through the 24th. Come on up and give it a try. I think that you will find that it is an absolute ball. If you've never done winter camping, this is indeed what you want to do because it is, I don't know how to describe it. Now, I know every time I talk about this, people are like, well, it's not for me. I'm going to Florida. And that's great. If you can't handle the cold, don't worry about it. But you'd be surprised at how well you'll do and how much fun that you'll actually have when you get out there and just go on out and enjoy what you're doing out in the great outdoors. So there you go, January 22nd through the 24th.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, on the website, we have had a couple of really fun stories from Roger and Lynn Brucker. They have been taking their time going across Route 66, and they've been filing off the beaten path reports that they have found along the way. And I'll put a link to this on the show, but they went to a great site called the Sandstone and Lava Gem site in Southwest, just off Route 66 in the Southwest in New Mexico. And it's the El Malpai, that means the Badlands in Spanish. It's a place where these very sharp lava stones meet the smooth sandstone. It's near El Morro, and in Spanish that means the headlands. So it's near the Badlands and the headlands, and the headlands are these towering sandstone headlands where prehistoric and historic travelers found water and left their inscriptions. They're right next to each other almost, and not that far off I-40 and Route 66. So they're very close. This combination of national monuments and national park and conservancy districts there are all intertwined, and it's kind of hard to give you a short explanation, but what they do, and we'll put a link on the show notes page, is they take New Mexico State Route 53 for about 20 miles south of Grants, New Mexico on I-40, so you got to get off Route 66 there, and then you drive through this golden tan sandstone landscape. And you come to the El Calderon area, which is where black lava flows created these lava tubes. Very spectacular landscape. And then right near the parking lot there, in fact, is the entrance to Junction Cave, which is a kind of a volcanic cinder cone that you can actually go in and look at. And then you jump along on Route 53 again, and you go to the El Pai Information Center, where you learn about all these other features. There's this 17-mile-long lava tube you could explore. So you can have all sorts of time in El Malpai, the Badlands in New Mexico, with these massive sandstones and natural arches, a couple of places. And just really neat. So take a look at the photos that we'll put on the blog, on roadtrekking.com blog. I'll put links to them on our show notes here, and you will have no problem finding them. This part of the podcast is brought to you by the Leisure Time RV dealership in Central Florida, a family-owned dealership serving the internet and Florida from Winter Garden, not too far from Orlando. Leisure Time RV has been in business for 45 years and consistently rank among the top road trek dealers in North America. They have a full line of the road trek inventory, as well as travel trailers and used RVs. Jennifer and I visited with them and their staff, had a great time with them in the spring, and we got to know some of them very well. Very impressed by their integrity and their honesty, and just nice people. Ken Prentice, the general manager there, is a road trekker himself. He owns a road trek, and he and his wife love to use it every time they possibly can. So we're going to check in with Ken right now and find out what's happening at Leisure Time RV. Hey, Ken.
Hi, this is Ken from Leisure Time RV in Winter Garden, Florida. If you are considering updating your road trek for new, make sure you contact us at 1-800-336-6565 or email admin@leisuretimerv.com for your best deal. We're very competitive. We have customers waiting for clean pre-owned road treks. We have sold road treks to folks all over the U.S. Just a reminder, we still have a few road treks that qualify for free money from Road Trek. Save thousands. These road treks are new 2015s built on 2014 chassis. Check out our great inventory of road treks, the newest Zion or the CS with the eTrek package, the best of all worlds, and also the TS Adventures with the electronic package, plus all the other great models. See all our inventory on our website at www.leisuretimerv.com or give us a call at 1-800-336-6565. Remember, your vacation starts with Leisure Time RV.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The Small Motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
One of my favorite RV guys out there is RV expert Mark Polk. He is a producer, a video producer. He's host of one of the most highly regarded series of DVDs and videos and books and ebooks about the RV world. He's a retired Army Chief Warrant Officer, and he specialized when he was in the Army in wheeled and track vehicle fleet management. And so it was kind of an easy transition to getting into RVs. And Mark and his wife, Dawn, run RV Education 101, and they've been doing this since 1999. A very extensive RV background, working in RV service and sales and management. And Mark has a degree in industrial management technology and 30 years experience in maintenance, as I said, from the military vehicles and as an RV technician. Well, Mark really knows about operating RVs, and he's got a whole series of DVDs. I'll put a link to his whole website and you can look it up. But I got to thinking about Mark. We ran into Mark and Dawn in Hershey, had a dinner with them, and never really got a chance to, we got so busy there with so many people to talk to, we never got a chance to follow up. And so I called him up the other day and said, Mark, I've been traveling across this North America now for 4.5 years, and it's pretty obvious to me that we really have some pretty poor drivers that are behind the wheels of recreation vehicles. They just, they drive them like they're a car, and they are not a car. And so I thought Mark could offer us some tips. He's done a DVD under this very title of How to Drive Your RV Like a Pro. And Mark was gracious enough to come on the podcast. So let's bring him on right now. Well, Mark Polk himself joins us right now, and we can tell you how to drive your RV like a pro. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, Mike, and I appreciate you having us back on your podcast again.
Well, we love having you, and you have this vast library that, as I indicated in the introduction to all of our listeners so many different things about an RV, much more complicated than our family cars. But one of the most basic ones is that, and I know you have a great DVD on this, and we'll link to that on RV Education 101. But let's kind of talk to everybody. No matter what size RV you drive, it takes a little different skill set. And I thought maybe you could start us off by, how do we drive our RVs better?
Well, you know, Mike, when we started producing some of our training DVDs, questions that would constantly come up in emails or phone calls were people that were asking if we offered any type of driver's training or, you know, how to drive a large vehicle like a motorhome. And for a long time, you know, we concentrated our efforts on showing people how to operate the systems and how to do some basic preventive maintenance on their RVs. And the more I thought about it, when I was in the military, you know, I drove everything from a small Jeep to a 60-ton tank. And, of course, when you do that type of thing, it requires some additional training and, like you said, a different skill set than driving a typical automobile. So I thought about it a lot, and then I contacted a professional tour bus driver that I saw he had written a book, and I looked over his book, and I thought, man, this is some really good information that I think people who are going to drive a large motorhome, because it's, of course, it's longer, it's taller, it's heavier than a typical vehicle, that they could really use this type of training coming from somebody who had a CDL, a commercial driver's license. So we made an appointment to get together and discuss my ideas about basically taking his book and turning it into a training DVD that would simplify things, and people could just kind of sit in the comfort of their own home and learn some techniques about operating a larger vehicle that would be extremely helpful. Well, that was the premise of producing that title.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that you learned in that, and realizing that our audience is some of them have Class A's, some Class C's, a lot of Class B's. Some are driving towables, but there are some principles, no matter what size RV they drive, that we all need to keep in mind. And maybe you could share a few of those insights, Mark, how to drive our RV like a pro.
Okay. Just real, very basic. Some simple tips. Of course, I mentioned a moment ago that because RVs are longer, taller, and heavier than a typical vehicle, there are some things that come into play here that you could learn to help you operate these vehicles, whether it is a motorized RV or a truck towing a trailer, or a fifth wheel, or a motorhome towing a car. I mean, whatever the scenario is, these techniques can even be used in driving your car to make you better than at doing something as simple as that. Of course, with an RV, height clearance is a big one. I think, you know, people tend to, when they go into McDonald's, they just drive through the drive-thru and don't ever give height. And, you know, it's never a concern because you're in a small automobile, but as soon as you get into towing a trailer or driving a motorhome, you need to be aware of your height clearance. And in the DVD, we went over things like that, how to, you know, measure from a level surface to the highest point on the RV. I recommend that you record that in an area where it's constantly in your view up around the steering wheel area. And then, you know, some other things that you might want to consider is today they have GPS systems that are designed specifically for RVs, and you can input the height data and the weight data, and it will make sure and route you to avoid any catastrophes of trying to go under an overpass and you forget about your height and have a major problem there. So that's definitely a concern. And then I think something that people really need to be aware of is a safe following distance when they're driving, you know, something that's larger and heavier than what they're typically used to. So we go over things that very simple techniques, you know, allowing 1 second for about every 10 feet of the vehicle length, and then you add an additional second if you're traveling over 40 miles per hour. This might sound a little complicated coming, you know, this fast, but when you think about it, you know, if you have a combination, a vehicle that's a truck and trailer that's 50 feet long, so you would allow 5 seconds between you and the person in front of you, and then add an additional second because you're traveling over 40 miles per hour. And what this does is it gives you enough time to stop safely and avoid getting in an accident. And when you think about stopping that much weight, I think that's one of the biggest issues with RVs is when you're stopping that kind of weight, the brakes might be the best brakes possible, you know, that they can possibly put on that unit, but you still need that time, and people's reaction time is different too. So all these things factor into, you know, safe driving. And then what we get into with the DVD, that I think we take some commercial driving techniques and we try to simplify it in a way that people can really understand it. And what we go through are some things like your pivot point, tail swing, how to properly adjust your mirrors and reference points, all these things that are going to make you a better driver in a larger vehicle.
Help me understand, what is a pivot point? Is that a turn, you mean, as we turn the vehicle?
Well, okay, the pivot point, basically, this applies to a motorized or a towable RV. It's basically it's a fixed point on a vehicle, and it's the point that the vehicle rotates around when you make a turn. So that sounds a little complicated, but to put it in layman's terms, if you take a two-axle vehicle like a motorhome, you got a front and a rear axle, the pivot point is simply the center of the rear axle. So basically what that means is if there's an object, say a gas pump, you're sitting, you pull in to refuel, and if the gas pump or the concrete thing at the pump that everybody's aware of, if that's located at the center of the rear axle or behind it, you can turn towards that gas pump and you won't hit it. Now, the opposite is true. If that gas pump, that concrete section is in front of the pivot point, and when you leave the gas pump, you turn towards it, you're going to hit the pump. So that goes right there to show you like why accidents at the gas pump is one of the biggest RV insurance claims that insurance companies get. And it's something that can simply be avoided by being aware when you pull out to make sure that any object, it doesn't matter if it's a tree, you know, at the campground or the gas pump, make sure it's at your pivot point or behind it before you start making the turn, and you'll never have that problem.
Yeah, all you have to do is look at a gas station. You can see all the places where people have smacked into something or other.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you mentioned the mirrors, and I think a lot of people are unaware of how they should adjust the mirrors. Now, I know on your DVD you will actually show this, but in terms of helping us understand our mirrors, many of the mirrors have kind of two different views, a wide view and a real-time view, I think is probably the way to describe it. How do we adjust our mirrors best? What should we be looking for?
Well, the problem that we notice with mirrors was, well, first of all, you know, percentage-wise, there's about 30% of the hazards that you're going to encounter when you're driving your RV will come from the rear. And that's a lot when you think about it. So using and understanding your mirrors is extremely important. Now, RVs come with different types of mirrors. There's the ones with the long arms and the ones with the short arms, but the basically the adjustment is about the same. And what you can look from the front of a motorhome, and within 2 seconds I can tell you if the mirrors are adjusted properly or if they're not adjusted properly. And people don't understand this, and that's why they have, you know, you have blind spots, and a lot of times they have more than a quarter of the face of the mirror is just showing nothing but sky rather than road or what's coming up alongside you. So in the DVD, we do discuss and show, demonstrate how to adjust the mirrors. But basically, the inside, if you're sitting in the RV, the inside of the mirror head, the actual mirror, should look like it's touching the side of the motorhome or the trailer, whatever the case is. When you have that mirror adjusted flush with the side of the RV, you're going to get the best overall view of what's happening behind you.
So you want to see the side of your RV.
Go ahead, Mike.
You want to see the side of your RV in that mirror along the inside edge of that mirror.
Yes, and on the opposite, on the passenger side, where you have the awning, you of course adjust that mirror to the edge of the awning to clear the awning and be able to look down the side on the passenger side.
Gotcha.
And then with your convex mirrors, you're going to get that good view of what is really happening right alongside you. And it's really just a matter of people learning how to use the flat mirror and the convex mirror together. And it will save you from getting in an accident. I mean, it's just that basic. Things like that, once you learn, it's going to make you a better driver.
So we've talked about height, we've talked about braking distance, we've talked about adjusting the mirrors. What's the biggest problem that you see when people drive their RV and they jump in and what is the thing that most people forget to do that would help them be a better driver?
Well, you know, this list can just continue to go on. There's yeah. Another thing that I mentioned briefly was something called tail swing, and this is a real common problem that people have trouble getting used to because it doesn't really necessarily happen with a small automobile. Tail swing is the portion of the RV that extends beyond the rear axle or your pivot point. And when you make a turn, if I'm making a left-hand turn, the tail swings out to the right. So you can kind of go back to the gas station scenario again. And if you're leaving, if you park too close to the pump, and when you start to leave, you turn away from the pump, your tail is going to swing over towards the pump. Now, different RVs have different amounts of tail swing. A lot of motorized RVs, larger motorized RVs, can have up to as much as 30 inches. So if you're within 30 inches of the pump and you turn away from it as soon as you leave, that tail's going to swing over, and if there's anything in the way, it's going to hit it. And that's a real common problem that I think people need to adjust their thinking to that also. So we get in. What we try to do is we take all these elements, like we take your pivot point, your tail swing, mirror adjustments, reference points, and once you learn what each one of them topics, what each one point means, then we take all that and roll it together and show you when you're getting ready to make a turn how the distance away from the object affects the turn and how you can go into a tighter area if you're farther away from the object. And that's why if you've been driving for a while and you get behind a tractor trailer or a large delivery truck in a small town type scenario, you see them what people commonly call, they make a button hook turn, where if they're going to make a right hand turn, they'll go out into the left lane so that they can make that turn sharper and avoid traffic and other obstacles that might be in the way. So we kind of take all this stuff, and once you get the individual topics down, we roll it all together and show you how it works as a combination. And I'll tell you, I've had people write to me after they viewed the DVD, and they said that they don't think they could have got that type of training if they would have paid $600 and went to a commercial driver's training course. And they're getting it. Like I said, you can sit in the comfort of your own home, learn these techniques, and then go out and practice them. Hmm. And of course, another thing is back in the motorhome. So back in the RV, that's a big issue too. And we cover some different techniques to show you the best and easiest way to do that.
You know, and one other thing that I wonder if you have any suggestions about, and that's just driving down the freeway, driving down the interstate. When you get that buffeting effect from perhaps a semi-tractor in front of you, that porpoising effect, any advice there? What do people do? They speed up, put the brakes on?
No, not necessarily. I call that the push-pull effect. And basically, this is really true if you're towing a trailer. I mean, you get it in a motorhome too, but and this really comes back to your mirrors again, Mike. It's knowing, being aware of what is developing behind you. If a transfer truck is starting to pass you, what I call the push-pull effect, when the wind coming off the front of his vehicle, the front of his truck, at first is going to push you. It's going to try to push you towards the outside. Then as he completes his pass, that same wind coming from the back of the truck will suck you back in. So it's going to push you, and then it's going to pull you. And really, the only thing is being aware that this is about to happen so that you're conscious about it, and you can make slight steering corrections to take care of that. The faster the truck that's passing you is going, the more you're going to feel that effect. And a lot of it depends on what type of vehicle you're driving, a small motorhome, a large motorhome, a truck towing a travel trailer. This kind of stuff can lead to sway. So it's really important that you're monitoring. That's what I mentioned earlier, about 30% of the hazards that are going to occur are going to happen from the back. Mm. And just being aware of that and watching for that is going to be a big help.
Well, Mark Polk is our expert. Driving Your RV Like a Pro is the title of the DVD that Mark has put together. You will put a link for Mark's website, which is RVEducation101.com. But Mark, those are some great tips. It's hard for us to, of course, describe in words what you see on a DVD. But I think even just listening to some of your suggestions are going to help all of us be a better RV driver, no matter what size RV we have. So thanks for being with us on this edition of the podcast. And we'll have you back more as we look at more of these topics.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, thank you so much to Mark Polk from RV Education 101 for lots of information about driving our RV like a pro. I didn't realize that. 30% of all the problems you have are going to come from behind you. So stay alert. Appreciate that, Mark. Hey, would you do me a favor? If you have not already done so, would you please subscribe to this issue? Subscribe to this episode and the whole series of ongoing stories and episodes that we release on Road Trekking the Podcast. Right under the roadtrekking.com website, there's a place where you can subscribe on iTunes. That is how people find us. If you subscribe, they have some kind of weird algorithm out there, but the more people who subscribe, the more people are able to notice. They watch those subscriptions. So do me a favor, if you haven't already, just click the subscribe button. What that means is in your app, if you have the iPhone podcast app on your iPhone or on your tablet, it means that when there's a new episode released, you'll just get a little notice that, hey, there's a new episode. It's not going to take up your memory or anything like that, but it's going to help us get noticed. So please click the subscribe button. We do appreciate all those reviews that you've been leaving too. Thank you so much, Jennifer, and I read them all, and they're great encouragement. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast and listening, putting us in your ear. Many of you listen to us as you drive across North America. We ran into somebody at a RV show in Hershey, Pennsylvania the other day, and they said they just listened to 7 hours of our podcast back to back. So, hey, we're glad we can ride along with you and help you pass the time. You can send us a voicemail message. If you'd like to be a part of the podcast, just use the leave voicemail link on the right-hand side of the roadtrekking.com website. We have new and fresh content all the time, every day at roadtrekking.com. So check out that blog. Also, you can be a part of our Facebook group. Just go to facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. We're on 24/7. There's somebody there to answer your questions and to help and share their adventures as well. So come join us. Be a part of our Facebook community. Till next week, every Wednesday, new episode. We'll see you out there road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.